As you find your seat, you can take your Bibles tonight and turn with us to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, and we will be there momentarily. There is a handout for the Bible study tonight. If you need one, it is on the back table as you come in. But Colossians chapter 1, and we will be there momentarily. I'm sure if you've paid attention at any time over really the last, I would say, 5 years or so, you will have noticed that things have changed, and they've changed pretty fast. We live in an ever-changing society. I mean, today we live in a society where truth has become personal, where feelings have replaced facts, and what used to be called right and what used to be called wrong is now called and said, well, now that's all up for debate. Now it's all, you know, now it's all gray areas. What's right isn't necessarily right anymore, and what's wrong isn't necessarily wrong anymore. We live in an age where sin is celebrated. We live in an age where truth is ridiculed, and we live in a age where confusion is crowned king. But there's several things for the church and for the Christian we need to just realize and remember tonight, and that is just very simply tonight that God has not changed. His word has not changed. His truth still answers every issue of every age. It does not matter how fast the times change. It does not matter how quote-unquote progressive society gets, and so on and so forth. The Bible will always have the answer for whatever it is, the question that people are asking. And today, people are asking a whole lot of questions. They're asking, what is truth? They're asking, who am I? They're asking, why does my life matter? They're asking, what's wrong with this world? But then above all, they're asking perhaps the most important question, and that is, what is the solution? What is the answer? And folks, and listen, you're here tonight, you know what the answer is. And the answer is the Bible. The answer is the Word of God, because the Bible contains the answers that every one of those questions poses, and it does so with absolute clarity. Again, in a day and age where there's gray areas, in a day and age where truth is relative, the Bible gives us an absolute clear picture of the answers to these questions. And so you're there tonight, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And notice there, if you would, verses 28 and 29. Or let's begin at verse 24, actually. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 24. Down through the end of the chapter, verse 29. The Bible says this: "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach," and here's the key, "warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." And so we see tonight particularly in verse 28, that as Christians and as a church, we are commanded. This is not just merely a suggestion. This is not just a matter of, well, if we get around to it. This is a command from God Himself that we are to warn and that we are to teach. But it's not just enough for us to be against error. You know, it's very easy to be against something. You know, someone comes to you and says, what do you think about this? You know, you fill in the blank. And you just say, well, I'm against it. Well, why are you against it? Well, just because I'm against it. Well, that's not a reason. You need to know why you're for something. You need to know why you're against something. And so it's not enough for us just to be against something that is false. It's not enough for us just to be against error. We must also be for truth. We must also say, okay, yes, this is wrong. Here's why it's wrong. And here is the truth according to Scripture. Here's the truth according to the Word of God. And hopefully, Lord willing, over the next several months, this is what this study will do. This is what this series is going to aim to do. And not just to expose the lies of the culture around us, but to exalt the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're there at Colossians. Flip over to chapter 2, if you would. Chapter 2. And notice there, if you would, verses 1 through 3. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And that's a very important verse, verse number 3. "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Because tonight, the simple answer and the simple truth is this: every answer that the world needs is found in Jesus Christ. Every answer that the world seeks is found in the Savior, and we find Him in His Word. We find Him in the Bible. We find Him in the Scriptures. We don't find Him in TikTok reels. We don't find Him in Facebook. We don't find Him in Twitter. We don't find Him online. We don't find Him in university lectures. We don't find Him in the news media. We don't find Him in politics. We don't find Him in the White House or the governor's house or the mayor's house or whatever else we seem to want to put our faith in today. We find the answers in the unchanging, living Word of God. That is where we find our answers for the world and the answers that the world is seeking to their questions. Flip over, if you would, Ephesians chapter 4. Well, a couple books back, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 12. The Bible says this: "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of all the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But here's the key, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, when we talk about giving out the truth, when we talk about exposing error, there's a lot of people that when they get into debate, when they get into arguments, all they want to do in that argument is win the argument. That's all they're concerned about. But our goal as Christians, our goal as a church, it's not just to win arguments. And that's what Paul is saying here in verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love. And then we see what the result of. You know, because sometimes, listen, sometimes we know what the truth is. But sometimes we're guilty, especially as Christians, of we present the truth in a very negative way sometimes. We present the truth in a very sometimes condescending and almost a we hate you type of a way. And Paul says here, that's not the way we're supposed to do it. He says, listen, yes, you speak the truth. And listen, you don't let anybody stop you from speaking the truth, but you do so in love. And here's what happens when we speak the truth in love. That they may grow up into him, talking about God and the Lord Jesus Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And so we teach them the truth, and we do so in love. And we don't try to, you know, we don't do it in a way that it seems like we're attacking them. We teach them because the Bible tells us to teach them. And the Bible teaches us that they will start to grow. They will start to understand. And so our goal is not just to win arguments. It's to win hearts. We speak the truth, but we do it in love. Because the truth tonight is simply this: love without truth is powerless. Truth without love is harsh. But truth, when spoken in love, that is what transforms lives. Look, if you would, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and notice verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you, or in other words, I implore you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You've heard me say it a number of times, but God never has called us to do anything that is unreasonable. Whatever it is he calls us to do, it is reasonable and well within his rights. Verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have to realize tonight that we are being conformed to one of two things. On a daily basis, we are either being conformed to this world, or we are being conformed and made more like Christ. And the same goes for everybody that we encounter on a daily basis. They are either being more like the world, or they're going to become more like Christ. And if we speak the truth in love, then Lord willing, they're going to become more like Christ. But if we do it in harshness, if we do it just to win arguments, if we do it just to prove that we're right and we know what we're talking about, that is going to push people away. And the world is trying to squeeze us into its mold. The world is trying to make us just like the world. But the Bible, when we read our Bible and we're in our Bible on a day-by-day basis, this Bible renews our minds and it makes us more like Christ every single day. Years ago, there was a movie that came out and it was called God's Not Dead. And in that movie, there's been several of those movies since then. But in that first movie, God's Not Dead, it dealt with a college student, a freshman in college, going off to college for the first time and having to deal with an atheist professor. And, you know, yes, that was a movie, but it is a very real scenario. You imagine today a young believer who they graduate high school and they do so. And they go into a public college or a public university. Here's what they're told today. They're told that there's no absolute truth. That's what they're told in our colleges and our universities. They're told that, hey, you can choose your own gender. You know what? Scratch that. They're not even waiting until they get to college right now. They're being told that they can choose their own gender in elementary and high school. And you don't even have to tell your parents that you want to change gender in the school. We don't have to tell your parents that, you know, we've helped you get on medicine or whatever the case may be. They're being taught that the Bible is outdated. They're being taught that Christianity is intolerant. And without a biblical foundation, that young Christian, that young student, when they go off to college or to university, they're either going to conform or they're going to collapse. Now, this is a whole other message and a whole other Bible study for a whole other day, but that's why, you know, if there was ever a need today for more Christian schools, more so than public schools, this is the day that that is. Because we are responsible for the teaching and training of our young people. Not some public school somewhere where we're sending them off to be indoctrinated with Lord knows what. And when they have the truth from God's word, well, then that student and that young person and that young Christian and that new believer, they can stand, they can speak. They can shine their light of the gospel into a lost and dying world. So the question becomes tonight, why address these issues at all? Why even bring them up? Well, for several reasons. Number one, because God's word is sufficient. Because God's word is sufficient. Look, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we'll begin at verses 1 through 13. It's dealing with the apostasy of the end times that is going to infiltrate our society. And really, we have started to see this happen. We have started to see an erosion of truth. And so we have this apostasy, this erosion of truth predicted in the first 13 verses. But then in verses 14 through 17, we have the believer's resource. What do we have as Christians to combat this apostasy? What do we have to combat this erosion of truth? Well, beginning at verse number 14. But continue. You know, we live in a day and age where when things get tough, we just quit. We just throw in the towel. We just give up. But here, the Apostle Paul to Timothy, who was a young pastor, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." He says, not only have you learned them, but you have been assured of them. You know them to be true. knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse number 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Listen, we need to teach our kids from a young age the Word of God. We need to teach them from a young age the Scriptures. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Why? Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, tonight, the Bible is not just a devotional book. The Bible is a discipleship manual. It's a spiritual compass. It's a battlefield sword. And listen, when we're out there in the world, we need our sword. We need that which is sufficient, and the Word of God is sufficient. But not only that, number two, because culture is confused. Because culture is confused. Look, if you would, Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter number 5. And notice there, if you would, verse number 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 20, the Bible says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We live in a day and age that what used to be called sin is now called choice. We live in a day and age when what we used to call sin, now it's just a bad habit. What used to be wrong is now affirmed. And listen, this world has just been turned upside down. And more so than ever, that's when God's people need to make sure that they are right side up. And we need to make sure that we are standing for that which is true. Because God's word is sufficient, because culture is confused. Number three tonight, because Satan is at work. Because Satan is at work. Look, if you would, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. And we'll begin at verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You say, why do we need to stand against the devil? You say he has no power, and that's true, but he does have power, you see. In this day and age, he does have some power. Verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Listen, sometimes we get it wrong sometimes. Sometimes we think we're battling people. Even among believers, even among Christians, we think we're battling each other. But listen, we're not in battle with one another tonight. We're not in battle with the people of this world tonight. We are battling what the Bible here calls principalities. We are battling against something that is of a demonic nature. And our weapons, listen, I can do sarcasm with the best of them. Someone asks me something and I can just, come back at them with a zinger or whatever the case may be. I can share a funny meme or whatever the case may be. But our weapons are not sarcasm. Our weapons are not memes. Our weapon is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. I remember years ago, I got into a conversation with somebody, and they said, "Oh, all you ever do is quote Scripture. All you ever do is quote the Bible." Well, that told me two things. Number one, they didn't have an answer for what I was saying. But then number two, of course, I'm going to quote Scripture, because that's what the Bible tells us to do, is quote Scripture, is quote the Word of God. And then fourthly and finally tonight, we must address these issues because the church must lead. The church must lead. Look, if you would, First Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. And notice there, if you would, verse number, let's begin at verse number 12. The Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Peter says here, don't worry about that which you suffer. Speak the truth anyhow. And if the church doesn't address these issues, and if Christians don't address these issues, then the world will. And we must be a voice of clarity in the middle of chaos. Over the next several weeks, we're going to address real world cultural or doctrinal issues. And we're going to do so with biblical answers. Some of the studies we're going to do over the next several weeks. Number one, marriage and the family. God's original design. Transgenderism and gender identity. The Creator's intent. Body image and self-worth found in Christ, not culture. Bullying and peer pressure, standing strong in a hostile world. Abortion, the value of life from conception. Atheism and humanism, defending the faith with gentleness and boldness. And then ultimately, what is our life purpose? The fact that we have been created for His glory. We need to know tonight that we are in a battle for truth. We're not just in a battle with politics. We're not just in a battle with the media. but we are in a battle in hearts and in homes. But God has given us everything we need. And listen, he's given us everything we need, not just to survive, but to thrive. Not just to survive, but to stand, to shine, to speak for him and his truth. Look, if you would, final portion of scripture. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And notice here, if you would, verse 105. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Simply put, tonight, when we walk in the light of his word, we will not stumble in the darkness of this world. So you say, what can I do over the next several weeks? We can do several things. Number one, be present and be prepared. Be here. Commit to be here every week. Bring your Bible, bring a notebook, bring a heart ready to learn. Every week we're going to have a handout, and those handouts going forward, you'll have fill in the blanks. You're going to have questions and different things that can help you in this study that you'll be able to take home and study even after we finish the study here on Wednesday night. Secondly, pray for discernment. Pray for discernment. Ask God to give you spiritual wisdom to see through the lies of this world. Number three, stand for truth in love. Listen, don't just learn the truth. It's easy to learn something, but live it, share it, defend it. But do so with love. Then anchor your home. Anchor your home. If you have young ones, little ones, bring your children, your grandchildren, lead your family. Let your home be a place of truth in a world of confusion. The world tonight is shouting lies louder than ever. It's time that the church declares the truth with clarity, with courage, and with compassion. Someone once said this, and it bears repeating for these series of lessons. God's people may not always agree with each other, but God's people must always agree with God. In other words, we might disagree on certain things, but if God has said it, we have no choice but to agree with him. Let's pray, and we'll close in prayer tonight.